I'm going to start the message this morning. I want you to follow me very, very carefully. I'm going to build a wall right down the center, an imaginary wall right down the center of this center aisle. I want you to imagine this morning that there is just a wall right down the center of this aisle. I'm going to take this side over here and let this side of that wall represent what I am supposed to do. On this side of the wall, my responsibilities. On this side of the wall, I want it to represent God's responsibilities. So, over here is what I'm supposed to do, and over here is what God is supposed to do. Now, you follow me carefully. 99% of all the problems in this room, 99% of all the heartache, 99% of all of life's disillusionments, 99% of all the heartbreak, nervous breakdowns, all the rest of it in this room is caused because you want to get on God's side of that wall. You want to do God's part. God says, I have a part for you to do, and there's a part for me to do. For example, if my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves, that's on this side of the wall, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then, on this side of the wall, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. But see, what you want to do is you want to heal the land. That's God's business to heal the land. It's your job to forsake your sin, to humble yourself, to seek God's face, and to pray. That's your job. But we want to get over here and heal the land. There are far too many preachers mixed up in land healing instead of obeying what they're supposed to do this morning. For example, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's your job. Don't run with the wrong crowd. Nor stand in the way of sinners. That's your job. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. That's your job, not to be critical. But delighted himself in the law of the Lord and his law to meditate day and night. That's your job. Not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful, but to delight in the law of the Lord, meditate therein day and night, that's your job. Then he says, he shall be like a tree planted by the river waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's God's job. It's your job to run with the right crowd, do the right thing, live in the Bible. It's God's job to see that you prosper. But we want to get over here on God's side and do God's work, which is nothing more than idolatry, and we are our own idols, and we become our own God, and we want to do God's part. Now I want to illustrate this morning, and I want to talk to you carefully and earnestly. I want to illustrate this morning. Let's take this scripture. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. All right? There are 12 words. In Proverbs 3:6, the scripture I just quoted. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That's 6. And he shall direct thy paths. That's 6 more. 12 words. Now the first 6 words of Proverbs 3:6 are on my side of that fence. Don't forget this wall down here now. The first 6 words are my part. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And what is his job? It's his job to direct my path. Now, it's not my job to direct my path. It's his job to direct my path. Now, 99% of all the problems, of all the breakdowns, all the disillusionment, all your depression is caused because you're getting on God's side of that wall. Now, get back on your side of that wall. It's your job to acknowledge him. It's your job to serve him. It's your job to praise him. It's your job to honor him. It's your job to exalt him. It's your job to speak of him. It's your job to preach of him. It's your job to obey him. It's his job to direct your path. But you see, you want to get over in the path directing side, and that's God's side. You want to get over in the work of God. But no, this wall here, this is God's side. Now, when you get over on God's side and do God's side, you don't do your own side. Because you get so wrapped up in trying to do what God is supposed to do, you get frustrated because it doesn't turn out the way you think it ought to turn out. Then you leave this over here, and God's work doesn't get done. Take just a little line here that I've used before, but a little line. Here's what happens. You see, here's a person who dreams of the way tomorrow is going to be. He says this is the way tomorrow is going to be. And so he dreams about tomorrow. Now tomorrow comes. But tomorrow, when it becomes today, becomes reality. And reality can never measure up to dreaming. So when tomorrow comes, you put tomorrow's reality, as I've said so often, dreams have no negatives, but reality has negatives. No woman ever gets married and says, "Oh, I can't wait to get married because his breast smells in the morning and his feet smell at night." No woman ever does that. But the truth is, his breath does smell bad in the morning and his feet will smell bad at night. Maybe both at both, I don't know. But I'm saying, you don't dream about that. "Oh, my dream boat." That boat will sink mighty quick. But, "Oh, my dream boat. And this is the way it's going to be." Now, I will tell you, it's not going to be that way. There's no such thing as your dream boat. So what you say, this is the way marriage is going to be. Now, when marriage comes, you hang the reality with its negatives beside the dream without its negatives, and you're disappointed. Why? Because you got on God's side of that wall. You're trying to direct your path. That's God's business to direct your path. It's your job to serve Him, love Him, honor Him, exalt Him, praise Him, preach Him, teach Him, sing of Him, and spread His name. That's your job. God's the turner outer, you're the turner inner. And your job is to be on your side of that wall. For example, a child's going to come, and you dream how it's going to be. "Oh, I remember when Becky was coming." She's our oldest child. When Becky was coming, went to the back bedroom of our house, and I papered the walls with pussy willows and little kittens climbing up and down the pussy willows. Not live kittens, but pictures of kittens. And I put an altar there, and at the head of that altar, I put a bassinet. And at the head of the altar, I built a pulpit. So Becky was going to lie down there in the bassinet, and I was going to stand up and preach to her the first night she came home to the hospital. Of course, I was going to teach the Bible. I was going to teach Revelation, of course, naturally. And I was going to teach the Bible. And that's the way I dreamed it'd be. But it wasn't that way, because Becky had the colic. In fact, she still has problems with it. And she's 36 years old. But she had the colic. Now, so what were my dreams? My dreams were to stand up there and teach the book of Revelation to my daughter, who said, "Amen, amen, praise the Lord." But the reality was, she had the colic, and I spent all night for 3 months walking the floor singing, "Good little girls don't cry, 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 cry. Good little girls don't cry, cry, cry. Why can't you be good?" And that was reality. Now, you see, here's your problem. You have dreams that are not fulfilled. "Oh, it didn't turn out the way I thought it'd turn out." Then quit thinking how it ought to turn out. You get busy on your side of that wall. God tells you to serve Him. He doesn't tell you to turn it out. God says, "In all thy ways acknowledge me, I will direct your path." Get back out of the directing job. It's God's business to direct. It's your business to acknowledge Him. That's one reason why I'm never disappointed. I don't figure out how it's going to turn out. Never disappointed. I'm never disappointed in the crowd. I'll go somewhere to preach, and maybe the building was down in St. Petersburg, Florida. And the fellow said to me, a pastor standing up on the pulpit, and he was standing beside me crying. Building seats 800. He put 400 extra chairs in it. And seats 1,200 seats out there. We had 400 show up. He stood up here crying. I mean, crying tears. He said, "Brother, I know you're disappointed." I said, "Why am I disappointed?" He said, "Because we're just 400 people here." I said, "Not me, brother. No way. I'm not disappointed." "Well, I know you expected more than that." I said, didn't have any expectation. I came down here to acknowledge my Savior. And I'm about to do it, and I'm as happy as a June bug on the last day of May. I mean, I'm thrilled to death. Why? I didn't come to preach to 1,200 people. I came to acknowledge my Savior. I didn't come to acknowledge Him to 800 people. I came to acknowledge my Savior. That's my job. It's not my job to turn it out. It's my job to obey Him, be what He says do. It's His job to turn it out. But that's your problem, you say. You say, "Lord, do it my way. This is the way I want tomorrow to be. Lord, let me do it. But if you won't let me do it, this is the way I want it." No, you just get busy doing what He says to do. There's a second thing that we ought to discuss. Not only the illustration of the direction of our paths, but the illustration of our battles. Brother John led us in reading a while ago, read with us a while ago, "The battle is the Lord." Did you hear that? The battle is the Lord. Did you hear that? The battle is the Lord. Did you hear that? The battle is the Lord. The battle is not yours. The battle is His. Now, what's my job? My job's to obey. The battle is the Lord. 1 Samuel 17:47. Again, it's in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. The battle is the Lord. We say, Lord, let me take care of the battle. Or, Lord, this is the way I want you to do the battle. We run ahead of God. We want to do God's part. Don't you recall in the early years of Moses' life? He saw an Egyptian man smiting one of the Hebrew people. And Moses took it in his own hands and killed that Egyptian man. That's not Moses' job. Moses, God's told you what to do. But Moses said, I'll take it in my own hands. I'll do it my way. And Lord, if I can't do it my way, you do it like I say do it. He took and slew the Egyptian man. By the way, he suffered for 40 years. And don't you give Moses too much credit that he was out on the desert for 40 years praying and asking for God's power. He is out in the desert 40 years till one generation grew up. He could come back not have his head chopped off. He took matters in his own hands. Now, folks, don't you do that. Look, you let God fight your battles. You obey God. This is the wall. On this side is obedience. It's my job to obey Him. It's not my job to fight my battles. It's His job to fight my battles. Remember when Peter was with the Lord and our Lord was being betrayed? And all of a sudden, Peter threw his sword and tried to whack off the head of the soldier. He ducked his head like that, and he got an ear. And the Lord just reached down and put the ear back on and did a little plastic surgery right there and put the ear back on. What was Peter doing? Peter's trying to do it his way. Peter wanted to do it his own way. He wanted to cut his ear off. Now, the battle is the Lord's. And the quicker you learn that, the better off you're going to be. Let God fight the battle. You obey God. I don't say this a great deal, but I believe it a great deal. We got far too many churches and preachers wrapped up in trying to save America when God didn't tell us to go into all the world and save the nation. God told us to go into all the world and save souls. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. You hear me well. America is only going to be saved by divine intervention. Political preachers won't save America. Mr. Jesse Jackson and Mr. Pat Robertson are not going to save America. One old-fashioned hell-raising gospel preacher will do more to save America than 1,000 preachers in politics will. It's God's job to save America. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. That's God. Get back off God's side of that wall. Get on your side of that wall. Oh, my soul hurts. The battle is the Lord's. So you've got a problem. You've got somebody that's upset with you. You let God take care of that. You've got somebody that's your enemy. You let God take care of that, not your business. The battle is the Lord's. That's why you fret and stew. You want it to turn out like you want it to turn out, but you're not the turner-outer. Listen, now you hear me carefully. We sit and whine and complain because things don't turn out like we think they ought to turn out. And we dig ourselves deeper in. Why don't you just get your Bible and go soul winning and let God turn it out? Go help somebody that's poor and quit living in self-pity and let God turn it out. Get back off God's side of that wall. Get back on your side of that wall. Lord, I'll take care of it. I'll fight the battle. Let me do it. Or, let me tell you how to do it. I remember, I haven't told this story in years. Most of you folks never heard it. Right over here across the street diagonally several years ago, many years ago. Good night. This has been, we're talking about 20 years ago, I guess, or more. Used to be some buildings over there on that corner. Some hippies moved in there and started what they call the Village Boutique. You never saw a cesspool of iniquity in your life compared to that thing over there. Little children, 12 years old, passing out dirty literature with four-letter words on it and explicit sexual pictures on it. Living in communal life over there like animals. Orgy, everything else. Name the wickedness. Communism and homosexuality and and adultery and communal living and dirty literature and rot and filth. Now, we didn't go over there and burn the place down. We took axes and chopped it down. No, we didn't do that either. No. What'd you do? Did what God told us to do. Obeyed God. Stayed on our side of the wall. Kept on soul winning. Kept on feeding the hungry. Kept on clothing the cold. Kept on obeying what God said to do. We didn't even go over there and demonstrate. We didn't have any placards made. We didn't do it. Now, I'm not fighting folks to do it. I'm simply saying they're on the second team. The soul winners on the first team. We didn't do it. The mayor of Hammond, I think it was Mayor Clint at the time, he tried to close the place down. He couldn't do it. City council tried to close the place down. Couldn't do it. City sanitation board tried to close the place down. They couldn't. The place was filthy, rotten, sorry. Nobody could close it down. Some demented judges kept it open. And our courts are destroying us, by the way. Kept it open. We just kept on soul winning, kept on obeying God, stayed on our side of the wall. People said, "Won't you go over there to the house and demonstrate?" We're going to demonstrate. We're going to demonstrate to the lost sinners about the wonderful grace of God. We're having a staff meeting one day in the chapel over here. Oh, by the way, before that, one Sunday night, right back there in that section, came the head of the village boutique. I mean the boss man. And he had his female companion, his whoremonger, with him. And they were sitting right back there. And they both, it was wintertime, and they both weren't wearing coats. They were wearing green blankets. And they came in, lifted their arms up like that, looked like a Batman with his outfit dyed green. And they sat right back there. I got to preaching. They got mad and walked out. They walked back in about 5 minutes later. I preached a while longer. They got mad and they walked out that door right there. They came back in. I preached a little while longer. They got mad and stood up to walk out again. And I said, Hell, sit still. Sit back down. Sit still. In my own sweet Christian spirit, I admonished them not to leave again. And they sat down. The next Sunday night, right back there, the entire population of Hellhole USA came. All the village boutique. You never saw such a crowd in your life. Looked like an army blanket convention sitting back there together. I think, I started to say 25. I think there's 40 of them, but about 40. Anyway, 25 to 40. And after the service, they went back to one of the ushers and said, "We'd like to see the Reverend." That's me. So the usher took him over to my office, and I said, "Come on in." Well, there was the head of the place, 25-year-old fellow, head of the place, and his female companion, and all of the fellow whoremongers and dopeheads and drunks and so forth. And they came in the office. I sat down behind the desk. The fellow and his head man and his woman sat right here, and 40 people out there in my office. 40 or so. And I said, "Can I help you?" And the fellow said, "Yes, last Sunday night we came and were mistreated in church." I said, "You'll always be mistreated if you don't learn to behave." He said, "We're here to tell you that if you treat us right, we'll not cause you any trouble." And I said, "If we treat you wrong, you ain't caused us any trouble either. Because there are 40 of you and thousands of us. And not a pacifist in the bunch." Back in the back of the room, a little bitty short fella had hair down to his knees. A little bitty short fella. He got up and he began to go, "Achachu, achachu, 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 achachu." I said, "Man, what you achachuing in my office for?" I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I like you, baby. I'm baby. I like you, baby." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Achachu, achachu, achachu. I like you, baby, because, baby, you got soul." And by the way, I do have soul. Those guys walked out, and females, they walked out, back over to their place. Now, wait a minute. We never demonstrated, never burned the place down. Never declared war. The battle is the Lord's. Battle is the Lord's. One Monday morning, we're having a staff meeting over here in the chapel. There still is, a little long, narrow window in the chapel door that leads out the hallway. Brother C.W. Theus looked out in a hallway, and out there in the hallway, looking through, was that long-haired fellow that ran that place across the street. And Brother Theus went to the door, and he said, "I've got to see the Reverend. I've got to see the Reverend." The Reverend went to the door. "I'm the Reverend. Also, I'm the baby." I went to the door. And that fellow was there. And he began to tremble. And he said, "Reverend, would you tell me how to get saved? Is a Pope a Catholic? Will the Cubs come in last place?" And here's what he said. He said, "Reverend, we've been over there for several years." He said, "We've watched you." He said, "Reverend, you don't know this, but I've seen you on the sidewalk take your billfold out and give money to people. I've seen you pick up little children, give them clothes to wear." He said, "I've watched you people for several years." He said, "Reverend, we're over here sending folks to hell and you over there sending folks to heaven." He said, "I've got to have what you've got." He got saved that day. The next Sunday morning, with a white shirt on and a tie and neatly pressed pants and shine shoes and a fresh, clean-cut Hiles Anderson haircut, he walked down the aisle, professed his faith in Christ, and was baptized right there in that tank, and the place was closed within a month. The battle is the Lord! Our job is to obey Him, preach Him, teach Him, tell of Him, witness about Him, love Him, honor Him, exalt Him. The battle is His. Leave it in His hands. Over here, two blocks from this corner, a block from the back of this, our property here, corner of Willow Court and Oakley here, the southwest corner. For years, there's a place over there called the Seven Seas Lounge. This is one of the most amazing stories you'll ever hear in your life. Called the Seven Seas Lounge. Ladies and gentlemen, one block from the First Baptist Church property, they had nude dancing. I don't mean topless dancing. I mean totally female nude dancing one block away. We never one time demonstrated against it. I'm not against folks that do. We just didn't. We let the Lord take care of the battle. But we passed out gospel tracts because that's what we're supposed to do, is spread the gospel. And our folks would go over there, and as the people would walk in, they'd pass out a tract. As they'd walk out, they'd get another tract. For several years they did that, passing out the tracts, winning folks to Christ. We've had folks walk the aisle, got saved over there on Saturday night, late at night, coming out or going into that new dancing place, the Seven Seas Lounge. 1 week it closed. Praise God, it closed. We bought the building. It's now our sailor ministry. They think it's still what it used to be, and that's why they come. But it's our sailor ministry. We own the building now. We own the old Seven Seas Lounge building. It used to be a hellhole. Now it's a place where the gospel's preached. Several years passed. We bought it. Tires. Seven Seas Lounge was closed. I left for the airport one Monday morning. Picked up my mail, and there was a little note. "Call a certain person." I didn't know the name. "West Virginia, where I'll be, God willing, tomorrow." And I got to the airport, and I went to the telephone booth there, and I called this number in West Virginia. It's been several years after this lounge closed. And I had a revival right there in the airport. Fellow said, "Reverend, you don't know me," but he said, "for years I operated a place of business near your church." He said, "It was called the Seven Seas Lounge." I said, "Yes, I know about that place." But he said, "I was the owner of it."
an operator of it.
He said, you don't know this, but he said, I've never hated a man in my life like I hated you. He said, your folks would come over there and pass out tracts as they walked. Folks walked in, pass out tracts, they walked out. He said, we had more tracts in our place than we had anything else, printed matter. And he said, I hated you, but he said, in my heart, I knew you folks had something that I needed to have. He said, I won't tell you why I closed it down. He said, never told you this. Your folks don't know it. But he said, one night I went home and I said to my wife, look at this piece of paper. I read it. She read it. She got saved. I got saved. We closed down the Seven Seas Lounge. And then there was a quietness on the phone. And he said, Reverend, the reason I called you today, it's been years now since we closed it. He said, this weekend, I'm being ordained to preach the gospel. The battle is the Lord's. Why don't we learn that? Why don't you learn if you'll just get busy doing what God's told you to do? Let God take care of all the difficulties. Let God take care of all the problems. Let God take care of all the complexities. Let God take care of all the intricacies of life. You just obey Him. Get back on your side of that wall. Listen, there are hundreds of people this morning on God's side of that wall trying to play God. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Sing it. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. He's the one to direct the path. You get back on this side and acknowledge Him. You get back off God's side. He's the one. The battle is His. You just serve Him and obey Him and do what He says. Get out of your pity party. Get out of your self-pitying. Everybody's got problems. People begging for food in India. You haven't got much to complain about. What you ought to be doing is shouting, saying, blessed be God. Tell the world about Him and do what He tells you to do. Get on your side of that wall. There's a third thing that's His to do. Not only get on your side concerning acknowledging Him and let Him direct your path. Get on your side concerning obeying Him and let Him fight the battle. But there's a third thing that's God's. Three times it's said in the Bible, Romans 12:19, Hebrews 10:30, and Deuteronomy 32:25. Brother, if something is said in Deuteronomy and again in Romans and again in Hebrews, it's something very important as far as God's concerned. If God puts it in three distinct different places in the Bible, the same verse, it's important. And this is what it says. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Your job is to love. This is the wall right here. Your job is to love. Your job is to bless. Your job is to pray. It's His job to get back at your enemies if he sees fit. But vengeance is not yours. Vengeance is His. I'll get Him if it's the last thing I'll do! That's pagan heathenism. That's God's business. Okay, God, you take it over and knock the devil out of him. That's as bad. It's as bad. What you ought to say is, God bless him. I said this to my Sunday school class. I've got a few enemies in this area. There's not a single one of the enemies, the biggest enemies I have in this area. But what I drive by every morning of my life when I'm in town, the house, and pray for God to bless my enemy that day. And the last thing I do at night before I go home is drive by the house of my bitterest enemies, pray for God to give them a good night's rest. Now, if you want to get on God's side of the wall and seek vengeance, that's up to you, but that's not Christianity. Vengeance is mine. The battle is the Lord. I will direct your path. Get back over here. My side is to love. My side is to bless. My side is to pray. My side is to do good. Now, I want to tell you something. You are not right with God if you're mad at anybody in this world. Now, you hear me well. Why don't we decide to become Christians for a change? Why don't we decide the Bible's God's book, we're supposed to obey it? You're not right with God if you're mad at anybody. If you, in your heart, have a strained relationship with anybody in this world, you ought to hit the aisle, get on the altar, on your knees at the mourner's bench, and get right with God. Pagan, heathen, it's God's business to get back at people. It's your job to love them, be kind to them, pray for them, do good to them. God, never mind, I'll do it. Or, let me tell you what to do. Good night, I'm thinking of more old illustration this morning. But I got to tell you this one. Years ago when Becky was a child, she and I went soul winning one day. She was just a little tight, must have been 9 years old, 8 or 9. We went soul winning one day. Went over here on the north side of Hammond on Sheffield, I think it was. Knocked on Sheffield or North Holman. One or the other. Knocked on the door. A fellow came to the door. Big old tall fellow. Ushers, keep the folks from coming in while I'm preaching, please. And big tall fellow came to the door. He had 13 visitors in his living room. 13 visitors. I walked up and I said, my name is Jack Hiles. And he's what he said. Hey, yeah, old Hiles, biggest fake in town. I said, no, I'm not. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm sincere, and God knows it, and I know it, and you ought to know it. Hey, folks, old Hiles here. Biggest fake in town. Old Hiles, you know Hiles, down there at the Baptist Church, the big church on Sibley. He made fun of me. He called me a fake. I've never done this in my life, before or since. I opened the door. I put my hand on his head. I said, God, kill this man right now. I don't know what got into me. I said, Lord, he's called your man a fake. Show these 13 people here I'm not a fake. And I said, Lord, in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, kill him. And he said, he pulled back like that. He said, Reverend, you ain't no fake. You ain't no fake. You ain't no fake. I went into Christ before I left. But now, wait a minute. I was wrong. I was wrong. I shouldn't have prayed for God to kill him. It's God's business how he handles my enemies, not mine. Lord, let me take care of it. I'll kill him. No, better still, I may get in trouble. You kill him for me. That way I won't get in jail. Lord, let me do it. Or you do it my way. That's not the way to do it. And I was wrong. I was wrong. Still glad I did it. The Lord is the director. You quit directing your life. The battle is His. You obey. Let Him fight the battle. Vengeance is His. You love your enemies and everybody. Let Him take care of the vengeance. That's His. And then the increase is His. The increase. Some sow, or some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Lord, next year I'd like to have so many in Sunday school. Get your pen now and take my order. No, no. Lord, I'm going to do the best I can next year. And Lord, give me all you can. Do use me. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to obey you. You told me to preach. You told me to be faithful. You told me to witness. You told me to serve you. You told me to do the best I could. And now, Lord, increase is yours. I wish folks knew that. You know, this country is too success-oriented. We're too success-oriented. We judge everything by success. We ought to judge everything by obedience. Preachers all over America writing books on how to be successful. Why don't somebody write some books on how to be obedient? God giveth the increase. My job to sow water. And let Him give the increase. Lord, this is how many I want in Sunday school. I'll take care of it myself. Lord, if you're going to take care of it, this is what I want you to do. 29 years ago, next August, we came here. Seemed like we just couldn't get things going. I mean to tell you, we run about 700 in Sunday school. We got up to 1,100 and then lost 400. Every time we'd lose, gain one, we'd lose one. 3 years passed. Couldn't get over 700 in Sunday school. That time, Christian Fellowship Church over here was running 1,000. And they had the audacity to put it on a sign out in front of the church every Monday morning. And I had to drive by and look. Say, yesterday's attendance, 1,002. We had 703. I wanted to bomb the sign. You say, don't you want them to do well? Let me think about it, and I'll tell you tonight. Sure I do, but I want us to do weller. But anyway, we couldn't get going. We tried everything. Jim Lyons and I, he came from Texas with me. We'd set the office there. We'd wring our hands. Jim said, preacher, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. You're sincere, and we're doing the best we can. I don't understand it. Finally, one day, I fell on my face in the office, and I said, oh, God, I don't know how to build a church up north. I know how to do Texas, but I don't know how to build a church up north. Oh, God, it's yours. I want to do the best I can, but it's yours. Within a week's time, we got a call from the Steffies. Mrs. Steffie and her husband and daughter Vera Jean had had a serious accident. Vera Jean was injured with injuries from which she'll never recover till the glorified body is given to her. They said, we have a sizable amount of settlement and we'd like to give a big gift to the church of thousands of dollars. And they said, we want to use it some way so it'll win the most souls to Christ. And Brother Jim and I got in the office. We prayed together and said, oh God, how can we use this money? And God said, buy 6 buses. We bought 6 buses and our Sunday school attendance increased by 300 within a month. And brother, from that time to this time, it's been the Lord's increase. The Lord's increase. Same thing about salvation. I'll close. Salvation. Psalm 3:8, salvation is of the Lord. Same way. Quit getting on God's side. You folks are trying to get saved by getting baptized. Get back over here on God's side, on your side of the wall. Yours is the faith side. God's the saving side. The work is His. Salvation is His. The way you get saved, what do? You tell Him to do it. Lord, save me. It's your job. Well, how will I know He did it? Because He said He would. So I believe He did. You know why I believe I'm saved? I read a pamphlet yesterday. A pastor from down southern Illinois sent me a pamphlet. And he said, an evangelist wrote this little booklet. He said, would you read it and send me your opinion? And the whole booklet had to do with how do you know you're saved? He said, you know you're saved because you love the Bible. And he said, you know you're saved because you love the brethren. You know you're saved because you love to pray. You know you're saved because you love to do good. That's not why I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved because the Lord told me if I put my trust in Him, He'd save me. And I put my trust in Him and I got a book that says He'd do it. Now I think it's a wonderful evidence since I got saved. I love to pray, read the Bible, and do good and help people. But I know I'm saved because I let God do the saving. And He did it. How you know He did it? He said He'd do it. How'd you feel? Doesn't matter. He said He'd do it. Did you tingle? Doesn't matter. He said He'd do it. Jump, do cartwheels, doesn't matter. He said He'd do it. He said, if I trust Him, He'd take me to heaven. And I said, Lord, here I am, a poor little 11-year-old boy, and I trust You. Did you tingle? I don't remember. Did you shout? I don't remember. How do you know you're saved? I trusted him. And I got a book that says I'm saved. It's the Lord's. Get back on your side of the wall. Him and Alan, I'm through. I'm talking to folks this morning who are not happy. You're miserable. You're depressed. You're in self-pity. You're disillusioned with life. About to crack up nervously. You know why? Because you're on God's side of that wall right there. He said, you acknowledge me. I will direct your path. You quit dreaming about tomorrow. Think about working today. Folks who dream about tomorrow never have it today. Get back on your side of that wall. You got something you wish you had in life? Quit wishing you had it. Give him what he needs. Let him direct your path. Got a battle to fight? It's his. You obey him. It's his. He knows how to close up Seven Seas Lounge better than you do. He knows how to close up the Village Boutique better than you do. The battle is his. You obey him. Get back on your side. Vengeance is his. Vengeance is his. Not yours. Won't speak. Mad at somebody. Get back on your side of that wall. Quit playing God. Vengeance is his. It's his job. Belongs to him. And keep serving and serving and serving, and the results just don't come. Keep on serving. Harvest is his. Increase is his. It's your job to just keep on going. Just keep on going. I'll close with this. Last Tuesday night, had one of the two sweetest introductions I've ever had in my life. Neither has been accurate, but both of them, I want to be accurate. I was preaching in Milford, Ohio. The pastor stood to introduce me, and he said very briefly, he said, we're glad to have Dr. House with us. He never changes. He's just like the North Star. You can fix your eyes and your journey on him. That's not accurate, but I want it to be. Oh, there are times when I want to jump over on God's side and say, this is the way I wish it were. That's not my job. There are times I want to jump over and roll up my sleeves and get in the battle and say, Lord, I'll help you out. He doesn't need any help, thank you. There are times I want to jump over and and say, Lord, let me have that vengeance stick for a while. I'll be something out of it. There are times I'd like to do that. There are times I'd like to say, Lord, let me decide the increase. The Lord says, get out of my yard. Get back over there where you ought to be. I'm the director of your path. The battle is mine. Vengeance is mine. The increase is mine. Lord, let me do it. Or do it my way. Neither ever works. Father, bless the message today. Help a lot of people.